I want to thank the Lord for the meeting and being here and the good that we've gotten to our hearts and our souls. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to fight a good fight. And encourage the Lord will help us and strengthen us. I'd like to share guess one thing, I know the Lord gives me messages. Sometimes it's real hard to know when to give them out. And I'm not very good at that all the time. So we appreciate your prayers this morning. The Lord would help us. I'd like to start in the book of Luke, the 7th chapter. Luke 7. In the first verse, it says, "Now when he had ended all these his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick." I want us to notice this afternoon just a little bit about this account. This man was a Roman centurion. There was a wall of partition between the Jews and Gentiles. But this man, he said he loveth our nation. He had some depth to his life. He respected, he honored the Jews, and he helped them to build a synagogue. And that was, to me, that stands out very remarkable in this man's account. He could have just said, let them do it themselves. Let them be on their own. You know, they don't worship with the Gentiles, and there's this wall that they don't eat with the Gentiles and this type of thing. But this man had a greater depth to him than that. He didn't let that stand in the way. Also, I want us to notice that he mentioned here, he said, I also am a man set under authority. Now, he didn't say, I am a man of authority. He said, I am a man set under authority. This man recognized that he was a centurion. He was over soldiers. But he recognized that his power was not from himself. He recognized that his power was given to him. And he said, I am also a man set under authority. Do you know he gave Christ the highest compliment that he could have gave him? Because what he was saying was that I realize that the Son of God is under authority. That God has given Him power. And that's what Jesus desired. He wanted people to know that God was His Father. He wasn't there trying to make a name for Himself. He wasn't there seeking His own gain and His own benefit. All He wanted people to know was that God was His Father. And this man recognized that, and he gave tribute and honor to God. So there was some very good, and then all through this story, he showed respect and he showed honor. Here in this verse, he mentions in verse 3, it said, "And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews." He recognized there was this barrier, and so he didn't just send Gentiles to Jesus, he sent some of the elders of the Jews. That was out of respect and out of honor. And also, when he come down, you know, when Jesus, as the Lord got closer, he said, "Lord, I'm not even worthy for you to come into my house. Just speak the word and it will be done." But he mentioned, he said, "I am a man also set under authority." And I want to talk a little bit about that today, being under authority. Being under God's authority. It's very vital for us in our lives. And I want us to take just a little bit notice of the life of Christ and the ministry of Christ. At one place, Jesus, he mentioned, he said, "I came not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me." Jesus didn't come to do His own will. I want to tell us today that most people in life, they live their own will. It's in us from birth. It's grained in us. We follow our propensities. We follow the desire, our desires. The scripture talked about a child being of woman a few days, and they gravitate towards going their own way. Children, as they come up, young children, you can see it. One of them wants a toy and the other one wants the same toy, and it's inbred. It's just in there. But it's to our detriment. And we have to learn how to come under authority, under God's authority. And Jesus, He said, "I came not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me." That's a very vital part that we want to have in our lives also. That I'm not seeking my own pleasure. And Lord, help us to balance all this out. But if we just always live for ourselves and we just always follow what we want to do, we're going to fail. We're going to fail God. We're not going to have the strength or the depth of understanding that God wants us to have in our spiritual life if we're just given to ourselves and doing just what we want to do all the time. We're going to lack depth. We're going to lack what God has for us. And I believe today that if we look at our lives, it's a picture of our relationship with God. If a wife in the home cannot submit herself to her husband, how's she going to submit herself to God? If the husband can't submit himself to the good of the well-being of his family, for their benefit and their gain, if he can't submit himself to the good of the whole, how's he going to submit to God whom he doesn't see? You know, on jobs sometimes people, there's conflicts in jobs, in the workplaces. And many times people, instead of trying to stay in there and work with it, try to dig and find out what's going on here. So many times people just quit. Sometimes not even a 2-week notice. They're fed up and they quit. I quit. And they go find another job. But when we learn how to come under authority, you know, and what I'm preaching today is not easy. Because it crosses our grain. It crosses who we are as a person. It crosses maybe the way we see things. But there's a boss on the job. Usually there's a boss that's the figure. And I believe the scriptures from the beginning to the end teach us to submit ourselves to authority, to one another. And I feel challenged with this because we live in a day and a time where people are not respecting authority. They're not respecting the badge, the police officers. And I know a lot of times police officers aren't what they should be. They do things. I know there in Oklahoma, sometimes we come home, we can see red and blue lights flashing on both sides of towns. Speed traps, catching people come in. That kind of cuts against my grain sometimes. But God wants us to respect authority. And we're living in a time where that respect is being diminished. And we find people just shooting police officers. They don't even know them. Just shooting them down. Gunning them down. It's a lack of respect that's being broken down. But you know that comes into the church also. It can come into the church also. We can be battling the same things that are in the world, have a tendency to be our battle also. So Lord, help us today. But Jesus said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. He also mentioned in John 5, I want to get these scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the 5th chapter and the 19th verse. It said, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So Jesus is saying, I can do nothing of Myself. You know, that's the way it is with us today. We can do nothing. Oh, we can do some things. God, the Lord has, we're human. We have strengths. We have weaknesses and abilities. We can do things. But for them to really have the strength and the anointing of God, we can't do it within ourselves. I've done some things within myself before that didn't have God's blessing on it. And it didn't profit. It didn't help. And Jesus is testifying here, I don't do anything of myself. I'm looking. I'm watching for the leadings of God. I'm looking for the Lord to give the signal. I'm looking, I'm observing, I'm waiting, I'm watching, and I'm looking to Him for the green light. And God can give us a green light. You know, on stop signals, there's a red, there's a yellow, and there's a green. Yellow means slow down. Red means stop. And green means we can go. We need to learn the stop signals. You ever tempted to go through when no one's going? Maybe late at night, 12 o'clock at night, and there's nobody there. Now here, I've got this red light. We're tempted to go on through. But spiritually today, we want to be able to know the stop signals, the signs that God gives us. Amen. Yellow means proceed with caution. Slow down. You know, our tendency is to speed up. It's yellow. I got to get through. Speed up. Step on the gas. No, the Lord's yellow light means take your foot off the accelerator. Caution. You know, if we fail to do that, you know what's going to happen? What happens when we just run through yellow lights and we're careless about yellow lights? We're going to get in a wreck. We do that spiritually. We fail. We make mistakes. Not because the stoplight wasn't there, but I overran it. I ran past. I disregarded. I had my own desires were, And that goes back to our will and our way. My own desires were too predominant. I wasn't seeking God's will. I wasn't seeking His way, His thought. So Jesus said here, I can not do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son. That's why Jesus was anointed. That's why He had power with God. I want us to drop on down also to verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Hannah Smith made comment in her book that I stood with me, but she made comment, when we are seeking the will of God, she says, as long as there's our desire that remains and we're really not giving it to God and surrendering, relinquishing to God, she said there's going to be a shadow on our comprehension of the will of God in our lives. We've got to come to that place of relinquishment. We've got to come to that place that, Lord, I don't want my own will. I don't want my way in this. I want what You have for me. If we don't come to those places, there's going to be a shadow on the will of God. We're going to be confused. We're not going to understand. But if we come and seek the Lord and we lay and we relinquish ourselves and our desires into the hand of God, the Lord can then reveal to us what His will is. But if we don't reach that place in our heart of relinquishment, then we'll not understand the will of God. And you'll find we'll be going through those yellow and red lights, and we'll be having some spiritual wrecks, failures, that are not just someone else's fault, but it's our fault times when we override what God has done. Brother Curtis talked about Balaam last night. Balaam, he was overriding, and it got him into trouble. When we override, it will get us into trouble also. Lord, help us today to be able to... Another thing that's talked about Jesus, that said when He was young, you remember when He was a temple and His parents came back looking for Him? The scripture right after that, it said Jesus went with His parents and was subject unto them. He was subject unto them. Means that He obeyed. You know, we think of the Son of God, we think He created the world. He created the earth. But yet He was subject unto His Father, His earthly father and His mother. He listened to them. He obeyed them. You know, that is so important for us children and young people to get a hold of. It's one of the most important lessons that you can learn in life. You know, we don't always see things like our parents do. We see things different. We have different desires. But if we'll learn to submit our will to them, when I don't know, when I don't understand, and I'll submit myself to them under their hand, and I'll be obedient, and I'll take their advice, that is a place that we can deepen in our lives, and we can grow and gain in maturity and understanding when we submit ourselves under the authority of our parents. I want to get a scripture now in Genesis, the 6th chapter. 16. Genesis chapter 16 and verse starting at verse 1. Genesis 16, now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. This was a very difficult situation, but you know, it was part of Hagar's fault. This was Hagar. Sarah started dealing hard with her. She started being rough with her. They had a good relationship before, but Sarah started being hard because Hagar began despising her, began looking down because she couldn't have no children, and she did. You know, there's all kinds of different things that we can begin to despise other people about, because they don't have our strength or our whatever you might say. There's all kinds of differences that can happen, and we can begin to despise somebody. Relationships. And Hagar, the situation, Hagar just wanted to run. She wanted to get out of there. But the angel told her, go and return and submit yourself. That wasn't an easy thing to do. There came a time when the Lord was going to lead Hagar out, away. There was going to be a time when there was going to be a separation, but it wasn't to be right now. And he told her, he said, you go back and you submit yourself unto her. And God, I believe, blessed. And the Lord, that's the message the Lord many times gives to us. To be able to submit ourselves under difficulty, under trouble. I want to mention now that you remember the children of Israel when they were under the taskmasters, the things that were put upon them, the hard bondage and the difficulty that was there, it said they became stronger and stronger. Instead of becoming weak, they became stronger. You know, it's the same for us today. It's hardship. It's difficulties. It's trouble. Places that we don't like to be in. And there's always a temptation to run and flee. But when we run and when we flee, we don't get what God wants us to have. When we run and flee, we take ourselves out from under His authority. And we fail to receive the lessons that He has for us. You know, the lessons in life, some, you know, we like to open up our Bibles and we read. And we can gain knowledge and understanding from the Scriptures. But I want to tell us, it comes through life too. It comes through hardship. It comes through staying in there when you feel like jumping out. Yeah. It's like staying in there and working through this, learning in that experience, learning in that faith. Hagar was part of the blame of this. She was despising Sarah. You know, many times people go through life, it's always somebody else. It's always their fault. They did this and this, and it's so easy to point out all their mistakes and failures. Sometimes it's our fault. And we don't see it. Sometimes it's because of our weakness and our lack that we cause this, and sometimes we don't recognize. I remember one of the older ministers' account that I heard about. He went around holding, I think it was different meetings, three different places, and there was trouble in every one. Different kinds of trouble happened in three different places that he went to hold meeting. And the Lord finally spoke to him and said, "Brother, it's not their fault. It's you. You know, for us as husbands, sometimes it's always easy to look at our wife and say, "Your fault." It's not always her fault. Sometimes it's us, and we don't see it. It's easy for the children to look at their parents and see all the mistakes that mom and dad's made, and all the failures that they made, and places they came short. And it gives them a sense of excuse to be my own man, be my own person, be my own. And they fail to submit. Lord, help us today to learn how to. But it's the hardship. It's the difficulties are the places that help us to grow. It's not when everything is always smooth sailing. And, you know, some people spend their entire lives running from difficulty. Just like Hagar. Hagar went back. She had an angel told her to submit. Some people spend their entire life. I've seen that the older I've gotten. I don't want to do that with my life. I don't want to spend my entire life blaming other people, blaming the other circumstances, and not taking responsibility for me, for who I am. It's when we take responsibility, when we say, "Hey, part of this is me." And we face ourselves. Those are places that we can really begin to grow and become more like Christ and have strength and power in our lives that He wants us to have. As long as we're running, we can run from one trouble, and I've seen people do it all their lives. They stay in the same place emotionally and spiritually. They never mature because they've spent their life running from difficulty, running from hardships, finding an easier way out. Yes. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus humbled Himself. And He yielded and He submitted to His Father's will in His life. I want to look at another scripture in Luke, the 4th chapter. Luke, the 4th chapter. In the first verse, it said, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days He did eat nothing, and when they were ended, He afterward hungered." It said that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You know, the Spirit of God will lead us into trouble. That's what the wilderness is. It's a place of trouble. It's a place of difficulty. It's a place of temptation. And the Spirit was leading him into the wilderness. And he was tempted of the devil. Sometimes the Spirit of God will lead us into hard places, difficult places. But I want to tell us something there. There's lessons for us to learn there. There's things for us to get a hold of. When God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, you know where they came through the Red Sea and they were all rejoicing. They were singing the songs of deliverance because God had delivered them with a mighty hand. But you know, it was 3 days and they were in the desert. And the water was bitter. Did they make a mistake? No. Did God make a mistake? No. It had a purpose. The problem sometimes is me and you, we fail to recognize that God has a purpose. We don't see it. We look, and I wanted to read that scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. To our natural eyes, it looks ridiculous. It looks foolish. They felt that when God was leading them, and they began to complain. If we find ourselves murmuring and complaining, you know what that is? It's because we're looking at it through the eyes of man. We're not seeing what the Lord is seeing. We're seeing just what our fleshly eyes can see. But if we look at it through the eyes of God and we believe, if we're following the Spirit of God will lead us into some difficult places in our lives. Hard places. Trouble places. But I want us to notice here, and we can begin to resist that. You know the reason I saw this a little bit better than what I have before? The reason they did not enjoy Canaan land is because they didn't submit to God's authority. They didn't yield themselves to God's authority. When He told them to go in the land, they pulled back. They resisted. They didn't see. There was only two that saw. We can go in. But the others, they were looking at it through the eyes of man. And they said, I'm not going to do it. You know, when we say that, when we say, I'm not going to do it. Yes. When we say, I can't. I will not. We're looking at it through the eyes of man. And we're going to miss what God, we have to be taught. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. And He teaches us through the experiences of life. He'll teach us. He'll show us. If we're willing not to keep running. You know, when we come into those hard places, we need to begin to pray, Lord, what do You have in this for me? What can I gain? And I'm going to say, trials normally aren't they're not all together lifelong all the time. They're sometimes trials are longer than others, but many times we come out. But we want to get what God has for us while we're in there. We want to receive the knowledge and the understanding that He has for us. God, when He led the children of Israel, there was a purpose in where He led them. And it's the same way. And we may think, well, it was my mistake. It was my failure. Just like Hagar, God still has a purpose in it. So just don't discount it and say, throw it off and say, it was my failure, but stay in there. Lord, help me to learn what You want me to learn here. Help me to get a hold of it. You know, I know sometimes in my prayers I prayed, Lord, remove this. Get me out of this. And I'm not saying we can't pray and ask the Lord for help. I believe we can. But I want to encourage us today also. Because if we're just always looking for the easy way, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss the blessing that God has for us. If I'm always trying to find the easy way out, that's what Christian did on the path when it got hard and it got steep. He was always looking for the green grass. You know, he'd get off, well, it's going the same direction. I can just walk on the other side of the fence. He always had to come back to the path. And I'll tell us to this, I'm going to encourage us, if you fail the test, God has another one for you to learn. He won't give up on you. If you fail the test, He'll give you another opportunity. Next time, be watching and waiting. Lord, what do You have for me in this? Now I want to notice here in this fourth chapter, it says in the 14th verse, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of Him through all the region round about. He returned in the power of the Spirit. The trouble that the wilderness gave Him, the difficulty, the temptation that it placed upon Him, He didn't go away destroyed. He came back stronger than He was before. And you know, the Lord can help us also. If we'll have a willing heart, Lord, I don't want the easy path in my life. I want to take the path that Your Spirit leads me on. I want to stay in there and I want to learn. You know, sometimes we don't always comprehend, we don't understand. So many times people just, it's so easy to throw up their hands and quit. I don't get it. And they quit. Some people, I've heard people say, oh, there's nothing to this and all this. You've got to struggle. You've got to pray. You've got to seek. You've got to look into. And when you search with it all your heart, and there's that, and God sees that relinquishment, He begins to teach you. He begins to show you His way for your life. He begins to reveal it to you. And then you're able to get up, just like the Lord did. And you're able to go in the strength of the Spirit and have what God wants us to have in our lives. I remember reading one time some of the best people in companies are not the ones that they bring in with all the degrees and all the head knowledge, but it's been the man that has started at the very bottom and he's come up and he's worked in the different areas of the company and he's stayed there and he's persevered. Year after year, years gone by, and he started at the bottom. You know, sometimes it's easy for him to, you know, they bring in these guys with all these big degrees, and I'm not saying they can't give some advice, but if they don't have any practical experience, and that's why the guy that has started at the bottom, can be a real help and a blessing because he started at the bottom. He knows what those different jobs were like. And he knows what is going into the company and what's happening. He knows the ins and outs. And that's the way it is with our Christian life. God can give us experience if we're willing to allow Him to have His way in our life. I want to mention one more thing. I want to mention this. Sometimes we fail to relinquish God, our ways to God, because we're... I've learned this more with foster children. Foster children that have been neglected in their care, and they've lacked different things in their life. They hold on to things so tightly. Food that they get when they come into a new home, many times when they're fed, they'll go and hide food under their beds and different places in the house for later, for survival. But there's such a tight grip. There's such a fear that they're not going to have. And so they hold on and they hide. You know, many times we fail to relinquish because of the same thing. Because of the needs maybe that we have had in our lives. The spiritual wounds that we've had. The negative things that have happened to us in our lives. Sometimes we get in kind of a survival mode. And we're trying to hold on. You know, when the Lord wants to lead us in a certain way, we don't want to let go. Because we feel like, no, my happiness is holding on. My life is holding on. My survival is holding on to what I've got. But you know, when we allow the Lord to, if we stay in there and allow the Lord to work with us, when the Lord begins to meet our deepest spiritual needs, and we begin to find a security in Him, we begin to really trust Him as a Heavenly Father that loves me with all of His heart, and that He wants the best for me in my life. You know, people have struggled. You know, it's preached that God is love. But many people don't trust that. They don't believe in that deep down in their hearts because of what they've experienced in life. And they struggle with it. You know, you tell someone that God is a kind Heavenly Father, and a young boy has came up with an abusive father that hated him. It's hard for them to make that connection. It's almost impossible for them to make that connection. But God is a loving Heavenly Father. And He wants what's best for us. I don't know what... I want to go to heaven. But I can tell you honestly, I don't know what I need to get me there. You know, sometimes if we had our life, we just kind of... We'd 95% good, and we'd sprinkle a few 5% hard things in there. We don't know what we need. You don't know what you need. But God does. The Holy Spirit does. And He'll lead you in... He'll lead you in your life in a way that you'll be able to receive some of those fountains and places. You know, when the Lord led them, it looked like, to their natural eyes, it just looked like, this is desert. We're going to perish out here. That's what they thought. How many of you thought the same thing? When the Lord began to knock on your heart and deal with you and talk to you, and you felt a drawing to the Lord, and you just looked at it and said, that's desert. I don't want to go there. But you know, when they went through that desert, the Lord had springs for them. He had springs of water, living water that would feed and nourish their soul and bless them. And He has the very same things for us too. But we've got to come to that place of relinquishment, Lord. Have Your will and Your way. Not my way, not my will, not what I want to do. I've been really challenged with that. Lord, help us today. There's a song that we sing. It says, "Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will." Lord, help us today to be able to recognize. You know, when Paul in that place, he had that thorn in the flesh and he was praying, and the Lord said what? "My grace is sufficient for thee." Let me tell us something today. The Lord is not always going to get us out of the hard places like we would like. He hasn't done that for me. He hasn't always answered prayer like I wanted Him to. But I have found, as I have submitted myself and yielded myself, the Lord was there. He had a purpose. He had a plan. And it's that way with all of us. But so many times our earthly eyes get clouded and we don't see what God has in mind for us. Brother, I'm sorry. Brother Curtis last night in his message, he said those doors of heaven were just weighed down. They were just overloaded with so much. They were full to the brim. It was like they were bending of weight of what God has for us. Do you believe that this morning? This afternoon? I believe it today. But when we yield and we submit, we say, Jesus did that. He didn't enjoy looking at the cross. And this is, I was richly blessed with this. Sister Sarah the other night in her exhortation. Sometimes we are not willing. Yes. Sometimes we're not willing to take up our cross. Jesus struggled with it. And He went and prayed. "Not my will." And He had to go and pray 3 different times. If we're not willing today, we can pray. "Lord, help me. Help me to be willing. Help me, Lord, to be willing to humble my heart." You know, I have seen areas in my own life where I have drawn back, where I have wanted to serve the Lord on my terms. I've always wanted to, since I got saved, I've always wanted to serve the Lord. But there's been times that I wanted to do it the way Bob wanted to do it. And it doesn't work that way. We have to believe in Him. We have to open up our hearts. We have to relinquish. And if we're not willing today, we can. That was an encouraging exhortation. We can pray and ask God, "Give me, please give me a willing heart." When we feel that stubbornness, that rising up within ourselves, when we feel that resistance, You know, the enemy likes to make us think, you just need to run. Just get out of it. Just escape. But the power, the blessing comes when we reach that point and we say, not my will, but thy will be done. And we relinquish our rights, we relinquish the situation, we relinquish whatever we're struggling with, and we put it in God's hands. And you know what happens? It happened to me one time. I remember doing that one time, relinquishing, and the Lord helped me to recognize, I began to see the purpose in it. I didn't see it up to that point. And that's what happened when Paul, when he said, he prayed three different times for that flesh, it looked like a hindrance to him. In his natural mind, it looked like a hindrance to him. But the Lord said, my strength is made perfect in the weakness. And that's what I want to challenge us with today. Be under God's authority. You know, the world, it seems like it's just promoting self all the way through. Be your own man and do your own thing. And I want to encourage the young people today that's here to honor your father and your mother. You know, there's going to come a time when you will be out on your own. But don't go through that time and just say, boy, I just can't wait to get on my own. I can't wait to just do what I want to do and not have anybody tell me what to do anymore. You know, I've lived long enough now that I've seen a lot of people, young people, take that attitude. And they do little things that mom and dad really don't like. I'm going to tell you what happens. They go out. There's a time when they go out. But they don't have the maturity. They don't have the spiritual authority to make good choices and good decisions. I've seen other people, young people, I've seen them honor their parents. I've seen them submit when they didn't want to. And I'm going to tell you, mark their lives. Watch them. They're going to be blessed. They're going to be blessed. If we don't learn how to do that in the physical life that's all around us, how are we going to submit to God? A person that doesn't have a submission in his life to under authority, like that man said, I'm also a man under authority. They're going to miss something. And I see people today, old, living their lives. The scripture talks about being self-willed. Self-willed. I'm going to do it my way. We're going to miss it if we do that. We're going to miss what God has for us. Anyway, I appreciate your attention this afternoon. Pray for me.